here.
Where's the money?
Number seven, proposed land transactions. This is a decision. We have Dan Budd, our real estate section manager of the wildlife program, with us. We will be taking public input.
Madam Chair, members of the commission, I appreciate Jennifer's presentation because I hope she's made my job a little bit easier here. In Jennifer's presentation, she discussed the steps of the department's land acquisition process, and including the scoping and the need and the evaluation and prioritization steps. And as she mentioned, it's when we get into the evaluation prioritization steps, that's when the properties go through, or the projects go through, the Lands 2020 project. And we are now far enough down the line that all the projects that we're dealing with have gone through that. What I want to talk about a little bit before I get started with our transactions is just the acquisition process. When we get down to the acquisition implementation stage, we've completed most of the steps in an acquisition, and we're now down to the commission approval, and that's where we're bringing the transactions on to you. One of the stages in implementing the acquisitions is appraisal of the real property to be acquired. Here we are. There's been questions over time about our appraisal process, and I want to bring out that RCW 8.26 requires that state agencies appraise the property at the beginning of negotiations. It also requires that the agency provide the seller a written statement of just compensation as established by the appraisal. And I want to point out that we only deal with willing sellers. These are basically arm's length transactions, willing seller transactions. We have not had, since I've been here, and I don't recall anything previous to that, have a seller come back at us and say, you pressured us into it. Quite the opposite. If we get down to the end of negotiations and a landowner is not happy with the number, we thank them very much for their time, move on, ask them if they change their mind to contact us. And in fact, that has happened. The source of the funding sets the standard for appraisal requirements. The uniform standards for professional appraisal practice is the minimum for state funds, while federal funds require what is commonly referred to as Yellow Book compliant appraisals. Appraisals are contracted with independent fee appraisers. We currently have 43 firms under contract, and we request fee quotes from firms experienced with a specific type of property. Appraisals are then reviewed for compliance by the department's chief appraiser, Sean Kies, who is a state certified and also holds the MAI designation from the Appraisal Institute. Quite, might I add, fortunate to have him on staff. If federal funds are being used, review by the federal agency is also required. When appraisals have passed review, a statement of just compensation is issued, and negotiations with the landowner can begin. If the landowner negotiations are successful, the department then brings the transactions forward and recommends approval by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. And on today's agenda, the department is recommending the purchase of two conservation easements, the purchase of one property, and accepting the transfer of five properties. The first two items are the purchase of conservation easements on the Juleson properties in Okanagan County. These conservation easements are being acquired for the Okanagan-Similkameen Watershed Project, which was reviewed and approved through the Lands 2020 process. This project is designed to secure and protect riparian, shrub, steppe, and forested habitats and secure corridors for wide-ranging conifers and their prey. These properties are located about a mile east of the Similkameen Wildlife Area and are bordered by the Loomis State Forest on three sides. They provide habitat for mule deer, bighorn sheep, and large carnivores. Funding for the conservation easements is being provided by grants from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program through the Conservation and Recreation Office. The annual monitoring of the conservation easements is estimated at $1,000. We have received several letters of support for the project, and I believe they're being shared with you. You may have one by now and at least two more coming on this project. And I'll, at the end of my presentation, there is a public comment period, and I do believe there'll be some public comment. The next item is the purchase of 51.57 acres for the Dungeness Basin Project in Clallam County. This project was approved through the Department's Lands 2020 evaluation process. The Marshall property proposed for acquisition under the Dungeness Basin Project is located near the mouth of the Dungeness River on the Strait of Juan de Fuca, north of Squim. The purpose of this project is to conserve coastal wetlands, restore coastline and wetlands, and connect existing protected areas. The property provides over 49 acres of tidelands and approximately 2 acres of uplands. The Three Crabs Restaurant is located on the uplands, and there's a current grant application in seeking funding to remove the structure and restore the uplands. Restoring the Lower Dungeness River and its estuary has been an ongoing partnership with the North Olympic Land Trust, the Jamestown Sklallam Tribe, and the North Olympic Salmon Coalition, and Clallam County. In addition to this partnership, the project enjoys strong local and neighborhood support. And this is a sample of letters we've received in support, and I believe you'll be receiving some of these also. The purchase of this property will be funded by a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The property will be managed as part of the Lower Dungeness Unit of the Olympic Wildlife Area with an estimated annual operating cost of $1,000 for litter and weed control. The final item is the transfer to the department of 5 parcels totaling approximately 1,200 acres in Pacific County. These parcels were acquired by Forterra, formerly known as Cascade Land Conservancy, through a partnership with the department for the North River Willapa Bay project. This project has been approved through the Lands 2020 process. The purpose of this project is to protect high-quality wetlands, salt marsh, forested wetlands, and riparian areas along the northern and eastern coast of Willapa Bay. This project will also expand existing conservation areas such as the Willapa Bay National Wildlife Refuge, the department's wildlife areas on North River, Smith Creek, Willapa River, Potter Slough, and Palix River, and the Natural Resource Conservation Area managed by the Department of Natural Resources. The project area provides critical habitat for marbled murrelet and over 250 other bird species, along with 53 species of mammals. The properties to be transferred are located on the North River, the Palix River, and the Nacelle. The properties were acquired by Forterra using grant funds, some of which were passed through from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and Forterra provided the matching funds for these grants. The properties are being transferred at no cost to the department, and they will be managed as a unit of the Johns River Wildlife Area. And with that, I'd be happy to address any questions.
Any questions? Commissioner Schmidt first.
Thank you, Chair. And as always, Dan, thank you. A very interesting mix of land transactions, and that's kind of exciting. My question is this. I'm just curious, after a series of land purchases that we've had in Okanagan County, we now have a couple conservation easements. And as such, I think I'm right to say that the county keeps the tax base on those properties, but then you can provision such as prohibition on development. And my question is this. Does that change the view of the Okanagan County Commissioners? Your statement is that you've met with them on a regular basis, but are they more inclined to support, oppose, or simply be silent on a conservation easement?
The way I would characterize this is, in the past, we have been led to believe that the Okanagan County Commission was more supportive of conservation easements than of land fee title acquisitions. At this point, I simply can't say where they are at on that.
Dennis?
Madam Chair.
Director Anderson?
Madam Chair, Commission. So Dennis Beach, again, with Department of Fish and Wildlife out of Region 2. My opinion, having many dealings with the Okanagan County Commissioners, is that they are much more receptive to the idea of conservation easements than fee title acquisition. And then I'd furthermore go to say that the recent letters from Okanagan County specifically address acquisitions and not conservation easements.
Thanks, Dennis. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We talked a little bit about it last night, but I wanted the rest of the commission to hear the answer. On the Dungeness one, it's a huge amount of money for a very small portion of property that looks like it's mostly tideland. And tideland can't be developed or anything, so why are we buying this particular piece of ground? And you had some interesting comments about that last night.
The tidelands in front of the uplands on this property are private tidelands. They have the potential to offer quite a bit of public recreation in shellfish harvest and crabs. Someone last night when we were talking about this talked about crab raking. I've never done it, but it sounds a lot more interesting than a pot down and hoping something comes up. I actually have dug clams on that beach there by Dungeness some 25, 30 years ago or so. That in gaining the, if you'll allow me an antidote, back in the early 80s, I was commenting to a coworker in Port Angeles how the prices for homes in Port Angeles seemed to be substantially higher than in Spokane, where I was used to and where I was from. And his comment back to me is, you can't see the Strait of Juan de Fuca from Spokane. So I will let that allow for the location answer on the value of the land. But it's also highly critical that we get this property. The upland and the tidelands will provide recreation, but the upland also is going to allow us to carry on the restoration project that's in place and undergoing up there, and it's critical to that activity.
Commissioner Caney, next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm back on the Okanagan two properties for easement. In this conservation easement, I assume that what's being purchased is the development rights?
That's correct.
If it was a farm, more than likely it would allow it to still be farmed. This is forested land. So is there provisions that the landowner, who will still own the property and pay taxes, would be able to do farming practice or tree practices, forestry practices under some type of a stewardship plan? I assume that's very much allowed.
Yeah, under a stewardship plan, yes. The habitat manipulation, of course, in a conservation easement is a critical element of it, but that's part of the conservation easement.
So again, for the record, I seem to be in a habit of doing this. The landowner maintains ownership. The landowner maintains paying taxes. No loss to the county coffers in terms of taxes. There's no PILT payment. And the land can go on being farmed, ranched, and or harvested for timber under an appropriate management plan.
That is correct, Commissioner. Yes.
Commissioner Schmidt.
Thank you, Chair. I see in my notes I had a question on the Lower Dungeness Unit 2. Dan, it says this is a partnership project with Clallam County. What does that mean?
For 10 to 15 years. My memory is kind of fading back in there. We have been working with Clallam County, the Jamestown Sklallams, the North Olympic Land Trust, on habitat acquisition and more importantly, habitat restoration on the lower Dungeness River, primarily from Highway 101 towards the Strait. The easements have been acquired by PCC farmlands up in there to protect and restore. Part of the problem with the Lower Dungeness is, and the estuary there, of course, is it's been diked and drained and remodeled and what have you. And I don't know if anyone's had an opportunity to take a look at the Jimmy Come Lately Creek there at the bottom of Squim Bay, but there, if you want to see an example of habitat restoration, what can be done, that's one of the best examples I can point you to. The objective of this process or this project is to do something very similar to that restoration of the estuary.
Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you. A comment and then I guess two comments. One is I'm a little disappointed to hear that Three Crabs restaurant is closed. And whenever I have out-of-state guests, one of the things we do is leave Olympia about, 5:30 in the morning and do a loop around the peninsula and end up there for dinner. It's a nice place to watch birds at the end of the day. My comment, actually, my more serious comment is about the conservation easements. And it's my understanding that when you get a conservation easement, one of the reasons for doing it is it does potentially reduce your tax burden, that it's going to be taxed at a lower level. So when we're making these comments about it won't change the coffers for the county, I'm not sure that's accurate. I think they still have to pay taxes, just not potentially as much as they would have if it was active or not under easement. I might be wrong, but that's why I'm asking the question.
You get to a point there. The taxes that are paid typically a property that we'd buy a conservation easement on would be a property that has currently quality habitat existing and being used in a manner that is agreeable with our purposes. The result of that is that the landowner most probably, almost most certainly, would be carrying that land in special use, open space ag, open space timber, open space open, one of those land classifications, which of course keeps the tax at a lower, puts the tax at a lower base. After we acquire the conservation easement, typically the landowner would have that use continuing on and not something more. And so the tax would the real property tax would continue to stay at that same rate going on into the future. The thing that you bring out here is the potential, if there is no conservation easement, the property could be broken, say a 40-acre property broken up into 5-acre parcels, now can no longer be held in open space and it goes up to normal tax level. That won't happen with a conservation easement. So there may be some future ramifications.
Okay. I want to ask some questions about the Pacific County transactions, and Greg, you might be able to answer some of this if Dan can't. Looks to me, I'm looking at these parcels, and it looks to me like most of them are salt marshes. Certainly the ones on the Nacelle are salt marsh. It looks like, I remember that my unit at the university did an analysis of the impounded marshes that are currently freshwater but could be transitioned to salt water.
Sure.
And this one in North River was, I think, one of those big opportunities. then the one on the Palix, that looks like salt marsh too. So is that what we're acquiring here, is a whole lot of parcels of salt marsh and potential freshwater marsh that could be transitioned?
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Greg Schirotto, Deputy of the Wildlife Program. There's multiple strategies. So it's a private public partnership. There's a series of three, and I think there's a fourth grant going forward with then Cascade Land Conservancy, now Forterra, dates back for about a decade. The grant sources were either North American Wetland Conservation Act, so identifying coastal wetlands, or Coastal Wetland Grant. Part of that partnership was looking into the future. Some of their ownerships included timber easements on the Stanley Peninsula, for instance. We looked at that point, we didn't have a West Side Forester, and we said, well, part of this partnership is what we really want to make sure is that in the future, hunters have hunting access to these shorelines, because it can go to the west side of Willapa Bay, and unless you go all the way to the end of the Ledbetter to the refuge, there's really not spots along that shoreline to be able to hunt. So as part of that partnership, they recognize, as they did acquisition, industrial timberlands that may have a greater burden of O&M, they would hold those and manage those. They hired a forester to do that, and that they would target public hunting opportunities towards us. And so the combination of wetlands, so and the Palix, they came to us because it blocks some of our ownership, and it's that marsh that you see out from Bob Rose, the boat launched by Bob Rose's, and you'll look back to the east. It's part of those marshes that people do duck hunt on those. And then the North River property, Hawks Point, I've been a lot of time on, well, there's a, you're nodding, you know it's a gorgeous spot on Hawks Point, on that marsh out there. And you're correct, a part of that grant identified restoration potential, pretty low cost, low impact restoration potential on that impounded freshwater marsh at the mouth of the North River, which was an old cattle ranch. That hasn't been in operation. So that's the future goal on that portion. And there's actually some other nacelle. The nacelle, you know, that probably don't hunt that marsh out in front of your place. It's not the great.
Not a good place to hunt.
Dusky goose hunting, maybe, but but it does provide sturgeon fishing access on the other side of the river, which is a really popular sturgeon fishing spot. So there's a kind of a combination, but the idea was we wanted to make sure the public had opportunities to utilize those recreational properties on Willapa.
Okay, good. Commissioner Caney?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Something Commissioner Jennings said rung a bell in my head, and that, yes, that future on the properties we're talking about in Okanagan County and an easement, and then taking away a future potential tax because of the development rights being sold. However, there's several studies, and one actually was done in Okanagan County by Headwaters Economics, that point out that those future revenues in taxes due to subdivision are not always that great. I mean, in comparison to the cost to the county over time of infrastructure improvements for a property that's, for instance, out far away from the regular supply of roads and electricity and fire protection and water and sewer, those types of things, that it's not always a loss, because even if they had developed and had gotten those revenues from increased tax status, the cost of supplying that fire protection, police protection, goes forever on in perpetuity, and eventually it catches up to you.
Good point. Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments? Then we will go into the public hearing on the subject. We've got one person signed up, and that's Tom Bugert. Would you please come forward? Commission rule is that you are allowed 3 minutes. And when the beeping noise occurs, your time is up.
You're all allowed to start throwing things at me. That's fine. So, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, my name is Tom Bugert. I am the Outreach Director for the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Coalition. And I'm here today to testify in support of the approval by the Commission of the conservation easement proposals. So the Coalition is a nonprofit citizens group of over 250 organizations around Washington State, ranging from REI, Boeing, Alaska Airlines, to Weyerhaeuser, the Nature Conservancy, the Trust for Public Land, and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And we do advocacy for the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program, the WWRP, and the Land and Water Conservation Fund in Washington State to protect Washington's quality of life. So these easement proposals in front of you, I just wanted to reiterate a number of points that have been brought up already, that they're done by willing sellers who come to the department, and there is no blackmailing or forcing of people to carry out these transactions. And it really meets the county's requirements and a request to keep working lands working, to keep people on their lands, working farms, ranches, and working forests as well. And what this is doing for the county is tremendous. The work that you've done through the WWRP and in the past in Okanagan County has truly made the county an incredible place for hunting and fishing. I'd say go to OMAC in the middle of September, and I think you'll really see the result, just not with not only the mule deer, but also the thousands and thousands of hunters and fishers who come out to really enjoy that. And that brings me to my final point, which is now is the time to to carry out these transactions. Now is the time to buy. Not only is property values lower, but the threat because of the economic situation is higher for landowners needing to explore options of development, but also what this kind of work does on local economies. We commissioned a study a couple of years ago with an economist for the Trust for Public Land. Outdoor recreation in Washington provides is an $11.7 billion economy, supports 116,000 jobs around the state. Your hunters are coming out and they're buying gas, they're filling up their gas tanks, they're buying beer, hunting permits, and then as well as food, and the average hunter spends over $1,200 on a trip, often much, much more. And that's going right into the pockets of local communities that really depend on this sort of work. So I ask that you do support these proposals, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Soda pop.
Commissioner Jennings, you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to approve the proposed land transactions as presented.
Do I have a second?
I would second that.
Motion's been seconded by Commissioner Smith. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Greg.